with you this morning. I want to share something I think is very important. I think it's a tremendous thing to be talking about, and I'm filled with enthusiasm because I know what I'm going to say, or roughly. So let's open in prayer as I do that. Father, I thank you then. Speak to us now, Lord, we ask, in Jesus' name, that we could take on board your truths and apply them to our lives, that your kingdom would expand inside and outside of us, that your will be done in and through our lives. In Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. So, come with me this morning on an important journey. A journey into understanding how we live and how God wants us to live. When I was a young boy, you know, Christmas would come along and there'd be certain gifts that I'd expect to have. And every year, I'd receive a diary. And, you know, the diary would be a customized type of diary. Just, you'd probably bought in W.H. Smith's or somewhere like that. But it would be a diary for boys, let's say. One year, I received my favorite diary. The best diary I'd ever received was from my father's favorite golfer. We were a very keen golf family. We lived basically on the golf course. And there was in those days, in the 1970s, the best golfer of all, Jack Nicklaus. And they used to call him the Golden Bear. That was his nickname. And I received a diary, a brown diary, with a golden bear in the corner. And on the inside, there were Jack Nicklaus's tips for playing better golf. And one of those tips, it had the writing, and then there was a little sketch of Jack Nicklaus. And one of those sketches was when Jack Nicklaus was using a putter, and he was looking at the ball, and you could see lots of balls that had been in a long line, and it was explaining how he visualized the putt or the long shot. And so this page was about visualization. Now, bearing in mind, Jack Nicklaus was and probably still is, because he won 18 majors, and Tiger has only won 14 so far, the greatest golfer of all time. So visualization was one of his great keys to playing better golf. So I took this on board as a young boy, you see, visualizing the shot before you've hit it. Well, this is very interesting, because when we come to the Word of God, I find that it speaks about visualization also. And to some people, this sounds a little bit odd. And some people I know, they say, "Oh, I've visualization, what's this? Is this a bit funny? Is this strange?" Not in the slightest, as I will show. Very much based on the Word of God. Come with me, first of all, as we look then at a scripture from the New Testament. Let's turn, first of all, to the book of, let's go to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 10, reading from verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What's a stronghold? Let's read on. casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, if so far we're in any doubt, the last bit makes it clear. Let's read on. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, I want to say this. God has given us the most wonderful weapon. He's given us a thing called an image maker. An image maker. Each one of us here has an image maker. And the scriptures are very clear. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, and that's what's in the mind. A stronghold is anything in the mind that is against God's will, against what God has for us. Anything like that is a stronghold. It can become a stronghold, and it exists in our mind. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Where's knowledge? It's there, isn't it? It's in the mind. That's where the knowledge is. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We have this thing. It's an image maker. And if you look at people's lives and where they go wrong, guess where it starts off? It starts off in the mind. You hear about a minister who's with the Lord. He's got a great work of the Lord, let's say. There's someone who's got a tremendous work for the Lord. And then 5 years down the line, you see what's happened to them. What's happened? Well, something happened. Something terrible happened. Sin got in. Something got in. They were tripped up. How could that happen? There, that's how it happened. It happened because their minds were impacted and their minds weren't really for the Lord in an area. And so what happens? Sin gets in. It gets a foothold. That's why the apostle says, don't give Satan a foothold. Just a foothold is all he needs, and he'll build a great big camp on that foothold. And the next thing you know, that foothold has taken over the life. And so God has given us this tremendous tool, an image maker. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is something so powerful. There's nothing on planet Earth like what you have in your mind, this image maker. All the computers from NASA rolled together into one supercomputer pale into insignificance compared to you. Really, that's the truth. Oh, please don't think NASA's a big deal. And all the computers in NASA, they're not a big deal compared to you. Oh no, because God gave you this mind that can think freely of all sorts of things. A computer can't do that. You can picture things in your mind, and that which you picture in your mind, you can bring into your reality. But it starts off in the mind. That's, by the way, how things go wrong. And that minister, let's say, who was going well, what happened? Something got in the mind, some little, and then it grew. They thought on it. They thought on it, they thought on it, they thought of it. In the end, it destroyed them. But it works the other way. That beautiful thing, that thing of God that we focus on, that we dare to believe. Dare to believe that thing that God has put in your mind, because I know God's put things into your mind. The seeds of God are in your mind. God has been putting things in your mind that you can do, that we've heard of this morning even, so far, in the testimonies. There's things in there that you thought, maybe one day I could do that. Maybe one day that possibly, that maybe I could. Well, that's what God wants us to do. He puts things in our mind, good things, things for the betterment of the kingdom, things to grow us. And I know that this is such a powerful tool and a weapon. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to encourage each one here to employ that mind for the kingdom. Because this is what the scripture is saying. It says, I'll read it again from 2 Corinthians verse 4. For the weapons, what is it? It's a weapon. It's a weapon. Whatever this thing is that the Bible's going on to describe, it's a weapon. Well, describe a weapon today. Would it be a spear? Would it be a sword? Or would it be one of those great big weapons that Donald Trump has been talking about with North Korea? And they've been talking about these weapons of mass destruction. There are weapons today of mass destruction. Let me ask you, my dear brothers and sisters, do you think that God's weapons would be bigger, more superior to the weapons of mass destruction of the world? Do you think God's that big? I think he is. I think his weapons are far superior and far bigger and far mightier than anything that might exist in North Korea or the United States of America. God's weapons are far superior. Let me tell you this, God's weapons are world changing. These weapons change the world. Really, these weapons change the world. So let's find out. It says this, for the weapons of our warfare, notice our warfare, we are in warfare. We know that we're in warfare, don't we? We know that we've been called as soldiers in the gospel army. Soldiers of Jesus Christ. There's a world that doesn't like us. There's a society that is against the gospel of Jesus and that is desperately trying to get the gospel followers to conform. But we're not going to conform. We're not going to go the way of the world. We're going the way of the cross. We're following this man who gave his life for us, who shed his blood that our sins would be washed away. That's who we're following. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. Am I right? Because we're following him, his life is now our life. Paul, the apostle, says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. That's the passion that our sister was talking about. That's Christ's passion. It's in me. It's in us as we yield to this life. And it says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not talking about carnal weapons. We're not talking about weapons that are of the flesh, carnal, natural weapons. But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We have this weaponry at our disposal. The question is, are we using it? Let me tell you the story of a fireman in the state of New York. This was a fireman in the state of New York, and he got a call with the team that he was with to respond to this emergency. But there was another emergency. Most of them went to this emergency. He drove to the other emergency. He was wearing headphones with music on. He parked outside a burning inferno, a building that was burning. The fire engine was parked outside this building that is being burnt down to the ground with people inside. And what does he do? He parks the fire engine and he continues listening to the music. He's just listening to the music. He's enjoying himself listening to the music. But hold on a sec. There's a burning inferno over there. You have a fire engine there, something that's designed to meet the issue at hand. And instead of employing that great machine to meet the issue at hand, what does he do? He sits in the cabin, very comfortable, drinking his cola and eating some sandwiches, listening to the music, just waiting for the other team to arrive, waiting for someone else to do what he's been equipped and called to do. Let me ask you, my friends, is this man the picture of responsibility? What would you say? You'd be emphatic in your answer, wouldn't you? No, he isn't. Rather, this man is negligent. His negligence is criminal negligence. He had a commission. He is paid to do this. He had all the tools ready for the job. But he saw it and he ignored it. My friends, let me ask you this. What are you doing in your life for the kingdom of Jesus Christ? Are you seeing the issues out there in the world and sitting down in your cabin, drinking your food, eating your food, whatever you're doing, enjoying yourself, listening to your music, watching those films, doing whatever you do, and ignoring the issue at hand? Let that not be the case for this church, I pray. My friend, there has to be a sense of urgency. There has to be a sense of urgency for us who are soldiers of Jesus Christ. Oh, if I could, I'd be much easier. If I could, I'd be very happy to relax in comfort and enjoy things and just play golf. If I could. But you know, the truth is, I'm glad that my conscience doesn't let me. My conscience says to me, there's a world out there that need to hear the gospel. There's people out there who need to hear the gospel. I have been charged and commissioned with the responsibility of attending that need. What kind of a reprobate would I be not to do something? I'd have to be an utter reprobate not to do anything with the great gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the thing that compels us on, surely. If it doesn't, what kind of people are we? I hope that we wouldn't be hypocrites. The hypocrites, actors on a stage, wearing a mask. Please, let that not be for us. We have the potential of God to do great things. But first of all, we must engage in the opportunities at hand for the gospel. You may be limited in what you can do. There may be skills, and you know, not everyone is going to be doing the same thing, but everyone is commissioned to do something. And God knows our hearts, and only God. But know this, that He has commissioned you. As a believer, He's commissioned you. And half-hearted believer type Christianity is not what we find in the New Testament. What we find in the New Testament is all enthusiasm for the gospel. There's no such thing as half-hearted Christianity, my friends. And so this scripture is telling us this morning that we have weapons. They're not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's talking about ourselves. I can't bring your thoughts into captivity. I don't have the ability to do that, but I can bring my own thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So if a thought comes into my mind that is not according to the gospel, not according to Christ, bring it into captivity. I have this image maker. Bring that thought into captivity in your mind. Bring it into captivity. Let's say, for example, if you wanted to go out and evangelize yesterday, but you had that thought, well, I may see someone, I'm not sure if it's for me, maybe I shouldn't, maybe. Bring that thought into captivity. Picture it in your mind behind bars. Say, I have brought that thought into captivity. I've put it into bars. I've put it in the prison. Picture it. Use the image maker to picture those things. I found myself using the image maker in life, the image maker that God has given, and great things happen. You know, I started by talking about that sportsman, Jack Nicklaus, and the golf. Well, we bought a house in South Wales, and that house in South Wales was a beautiful house on the Jack Nicklaus Golf Resort. And on the opening day, they had the Red Arrows flying overhead, and they had the BBC there, and they had the Ryder Cup captain there, and they had these, all this big fanfare, and they had the Founders Trophy, which was the trophy for all of the people who were had bought the first houses on this golf course resort. And it's where Micah and I were living. And I hadn't played golf for years, but I thought, well, I'll play this tournament. And Micah said, I hope you're going to win. I said, well, darling, you don't realize I don't play golf anymore. I haven't played golf for years. It's impossible to win because these guys, there's over 100 people in the tournament, and they are all playing golf all the time and enthusiastically playing golf. And she said, I still think you can win. Oh, she still thought I could win. Well, what you have then is the image maker switches on. You picture yourself winning the tournament the next day. That's what I did. I pictured myself winning that tournament. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, help me as I go into this tournament to have rhythm. And even though I haven't played golf, help me to have rhythm and really know what to do and really be able to swing in timing and have that rhythm that I used to have many years ago. Help me, Lord, with that. I believe you can do that. You believe he can do that? I believe he can do that. Well, you know, that day, I just thought, the day before then, I said, thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for helping me in that tournament. Thank you for giving me rhythm. Thank you, Lord, for the rhythm that you've given me. that I can swing so right. And thank you, Father Lord, for giving me great success. Thank you for helping me win the tournament. I just went out and said it. There's power in the spoken word, you know. Thank you, Lord. I just thanked the Lord that day. I was doing gardening or something, and I was just thanking the Lord all through the day. Well, do you know what? By 6 o'clock that night, I'd said to Micah, would you give me a quick haircut tonight? I want to look nice for the presentation tomorrow. I was totally convinced. But I wasn't being big-headed. I wasn't I was just totally convinced in my mind. My image maker was convinced. Well, the tournament came. I played the tournament. I thanked the Lord for rhythm and his ability. I played golf like a professional golfer. I won the tournament. And I have a picture now just outside of my gym in the house of me standing with Gary Nicholas and Jason from the BBC, the BBC sports presenter, receiving the cup. But how did that happen? That couldn't happen. How did it happen? It happened because I saw it in the image maker. The image maker. And because I saw it in the image maker and I confessed it, it happened. I could have made the choice to say, you don't understand. Micah knows nothing about golf. I'll do my best. Thanks very much, sweetheart. You know nothing about it. And I would have had a game where I would have been, you know, playing as you'd expect after so many years of not playing. But you see, we have a choice. We can choose to go with the image maker. We can choose to believe and receive, or doubt and go without. Matthew 21, verse 22. Believe and receive, or doubt and go without. I'm so happy that I chose to believe. But this happens in all sorts of areas of life. We can see ourselves in different areas. God may have given you a picture of evangelism, let's say, of speaking to people. And instead of being shy and instead of being reserved, having a boldness. If you're shy and reserved and you don't know how to talk to people about the gospel, let me tell you what to do. Picture yourself in your image maker, giving the gospel to people, and them smiling and receiving the gospel. Picture yourself praying with people as they receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Picture that in your mind. Thank the Lord for it. Calling those things which aren't, as though they were, which is what God does. Romans 4:17b, it says, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. He calls those things into being. Now, I understand that this isn't the normal way, possibly, we approach things. But I'm telling you experientially, this is what I've believed and received in my life. And if I hadn't, then I couldn't have been used to do certain things. In God's grace, God has allowed me to do certain things and experience certain things. I remember when we had the newspaper thing take place many years ago now. And I was invited into the Full Gospel Businessmen. And the first lady that they carried before me that needed prayer, she'd had a stroke. She couldn't walk. They carried her. They put her in the chair. She couldn't talk. All her one side of her body was twisted up. Her face was twisted up like this. And instead of focusing on that, and instead of focusing on all the problems and all the impossibilities of the situation, the image maker on the inside of me, this image maker was being conformed to the word of God. And God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, calling those things which don't exist as though they did, calling the healing for that woman. But it goes against the physical, the natural thing. Of course it does. But it's in the image maker. And so if it's in the image maker, it can come to pass. Jesus says, listen, faith as big as a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain and move it. You remember the Old Testament? Do you remember David and Goliath? You remember the story of David and Goliath? You know, David had an image maker. If you want to conquer giants in your life, if you want to be a conqueror, as God has called us to be more than conquerors in the New Testament, more than conquerors he's called us to be. Well, David was a conqueror. And what did he conquer? He conquered Goliath. But before he conquered Goliath, you know he spoke to Goliath? 1 Samuel 17, from verse 45, it says this. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." He'd had it in his image maker. He's speaking those things. He's speaking what's going to happen before it's happened. Well, what's that? Faith. He's speaking that thing before it happens. He's telling him. He says, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down." And he's quite graphic. "I'll cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." But it took one 17-year-old boy who was more courageous than all those big soldiers who wouldn't go and face Goliath. It took a 17-year-old boy, but what was the difference? The difference was this: the 17-year-old boy knew how to employ his image maker. He visualized what would happen. He had faith in God, and it came to pass just as he said. That's what happens when we speak to mountains. That's what happens when that woman was put before me, and instead of looking at the situation, no, I look to the word of God, speaking to mountains in Jesus' name, knowing that Jesus has commissioned me to heal the sick. It's a commission of the New Testament. And so ministering in Jesus' name, life into that body. Have a guess what happened. You know. That stroke melted off the lady. Everyone in that hotel in the center of Wigan saw it. 100 people in the room saw it. The stroke melted off her like this. I don't know if anyone here today was there that night. Was anyone there? One person. The stroke just melted off her. She came to her feet. And she started to thank the Lord. But I tell you the truth, my friends. Before it happened in the physical, I saw it happening in my image maker. I saw it happening. And you have to fight sometimes to see it with the eyes of faith. Many people have said, if you don't see it with the eyes of faith first, it's very difficult for it to happen in the physical. But if you can see it with the eyes of faith, and you can back it up by the word of God, it can happen. It can happen. Listen, God is challenging us. He's saying to us, you must employ faith in your life. Believe God. Believe that those ones that you're wanting to reach with the gospel will receive. Believe. Exercise faith. Ask him to lead you to people. Ask him to show you who to speak to with the gospel. How many in this room this morning are excited about using faith in your life? Oh, you ought to be so much more excited than that. You really should be more excited than that. I'll give you a practical example, one more practical example of how I've used the image maker and how I want to, this is why I'm so passionate this morning. First of all, the major thing, to see people coming to faith, believing for that. But you can use this in every area of life. It's a powerful tool for the miraculous, as I've just said. But even for basic things, the house. Well, you know I'm not the smallest of people. And so when we were living in Winstanley, what happened was I would have to get out of bed because our furniture from the old house was such, it was configured in a funny way. And we had to, I was getting out of bed and I would have to turn to the side to get out of bed. And then I'd have to walk like a crab like this, sideways. And then I have to turn this way. And then, well, after a few years, one night I got up in the middle of the night. I twisted my leg or something. And I shouted out to God, I said, enough! I'm not a crab. I said, I want that house, Lord. And I saw a house. I went looking for a house. Now, we didn't have the money. But I saw that house. We had a guy that came to us and said that he wanted to bless the ministry with a house. So I thought, wow, I've read about these sorts of things. He said, make sure it's a nice big house. I said, oh, yes, okay. We went to look for this house. And so we found a house. Well, we didn't have the money for the house. But we went to the site and on this person's recommendation. So we got the brochure for the house. We went back home and that soon fizzled away, but I still had the brochure. So I had the brochure there, and the next day I went and I found that brochure. And I said, Lord, I've seen you heal people of terminal cancer. I've seen the most remarkable things happen in my life. I've seen all these things happen. And Father God, I believe that you can get me a house like this house. I don't need to know the details. I just need to believe. It doesn't say believe and work out all the details very carefully and then you receive. No. Believe and receive. I'm not clever enough to work out all the details. Just believe and receive. That's how it is with God. And so we set about saying, Father God, we know that you give good gifts to your children. This is a desire of our heart. We want a house just like this house here, Lord. Two pillars in the front, a garage where I can press the button and it goes up, a double garage. Father, Lord, I'd like to have five nice double bedrooms and I want to have water. That would be ideal. And I thank you for that house, Lord. I thank you for it. And all day long, I was going around thanking the Lord for it. Thank you, Lord, for that house. Thank you, Lord, that it's coming. Thank you. And months, months and months. And we had a picture of that house up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. It was in our image maker. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, the natural man would say, well, you haven't got the money. You don't have the money. This is silly. This is just silly. This is nonsense. No, it's faith. It's not nonsense. It's faith. It's the equation that the Bible talks a lot about and the one that God wants us to be employed in. Faith. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for that house. Thank you, Lord, wherever it is. Well, you know, what happened was that we got a house that was built by the same builders of that house in the brochure. And it's the same house that was in the brochure. Different location, but the same house. And this location has got water in the back garden. Praise God. He gave us everything that we'd asked for. But it was in the image maker. It was in the image maker, you see, folks. And look, my brothers and sisters, I know that God loves us. And God wants the best for us. He loves you. He wants you to be, you know, that sickness, He wants you healed. He doesn't want you sick. He wants you healed. He wants you healed. He wants you going through life with faith and believing for more, believing for better, believing to see people come to faith. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he marvelous and worthy to be praised? Listen, you've got an image maker. Make sure that you're using it the right way. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. So, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you then this morning. You have given us an image maker, our minds. This is a mighty weapon to overcome the enemy. And Father, we ask this. I ask for everyone in this building to employ their image maker, their minds, for the furtherance of the gospel and for their own personal advancement in life, that they would know the blessing of the Lord and that they would be celebrating your blessings in life, and that they would have testimonies of your blessings in life. Now listen, friends, with every eye closed, no one looking around, every eye closed, if you have something to believe for today and you want to put it into your image maker, into your mind right now, it might be something physical, it may be healing, it may be something else, whatever it is, if you're putting something or things into that image maker, your mind right now, that mighty weapon of God, put it in right now and respond to God by putting your hand up and say, Lord, see that now. See that thing now, Lord. That's it. People responding, plenty of people responding. See that thing now. Heavenly Father, we are responding to you now then. And we're saying, Father, please, that thing which you have caused us to put into the image maker, into our mind, Father, we believe to receive now, according to your word, in Jesus' holy name. Praise be to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let's give him a thanks and a praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Oh, praise God. Well, we worship him. And tonight, we're going to meet and we're going to go through some more of this teaching. And you are warmly invited to this evening's service. Praise God. Amen.